Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. Most North Carolinians are aware of the ongoing and deadly statewide opioid epidemic, but there's an aspect of the crisis about which many remain dangerously uninformed. It's called fentanyl. As NC Policy Watch reporter Joe Killian detailed in a recent report, fentanyl, a powerful synthetic opioid that's found its way onto the street, is the main driving factor behind the crisis in recent years. Because fentanyl is so cheap, easy to manufacture and manipulate, and up to 50 times more potent than heroin, it's often used as a filler with other drugs like heroin, cocaine, and meth. And this hard fact can easily lead to quick and tragic results, even for people who are just casual users. Fentanyl killed more than 3,000 North Carolinians last year, and the number will soar even higher this year. And recently I sat down with Joe to discuss his reporting on the toll fentanyl is taking, as well as some of the approaches, some helpful, some questionable, that are being advanced to help address the crisis.
Well, Joe Killian, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Thanks for having me.
So you've been doing a lot of reporting lately about, it's not a brand new issue, it's been in people's radar for some time, but there's some elements to it that are especially troubling. And we're talking about the opioid crisis, and we're starting to see a flow of funds from court settlements, maybe to do some repair work to this problem. But the crisis is severe and it continues to grow.
Yeah, I mean, what's new about this is, I think, two things. One is that a few years ago, there was a lot made about the opioid epidemic in America. And I think a lot of that was happening because, frankly, middle-class white people were dying. And, you know, suddenly people were paying attention because people were dying who they were related to or lived in their neighborhood or somebody from their church, people in power, I mean, that led to more of an emphasis on that. And one of the things that came out of that is this historic $758 million national opioid settlement, of which North Carolina is going to get more than $100 million. Mm-hmm. And so there is a lot of conversation now about how to best use that money in the communities where it's going. And there are some public meetings, some of which I've been to, of people deciding how much should go toward law enforcement, how much should go toward education, how much should go toward programs trying to help people in recovery, and how do we work our way through this. Now, America, and I think the world, really took its eye off of this because of the COVID-19 pandemic. There are only so many things that are, you know, causing sort of mass deaths that you can deal with at once. And during the pandemic, the opioid crisis didn't go anywhere. It got worse. And in North Carolina, the deaths are staggering. And as I wrote about recently, the sort of shift over the course of years toward more and more fentanyl deaths. So fentanyl is a synthetic opioid that was created for the purposes of anesthesia and helping people after surgery and things like that, and has been misused and on the illicit market in a way that is killing a lot more people because it is a lot more powerful than heroin, than morphine, and it will stop your breathing and shut you down. And a lot of it's making its way into heroin, into pills, and just being used recreationally on its own terms.
When we think of the opioid crisis, a lot of people think, oh, there's these pills that doctors have been overprescribing, various painkillers, maybe that originally people got them because they had surgery and then they get addicted to them. And then that is the source of the problem. Maybe it's overprescription and pill mills and things like that. But this fentanyl stuff, this is being like illegally produced, right? And sort of just, it's like, yeah, it's become a street drug.
Not to say that people weren't getting pills in a way that was illicit or doing heroin. Certainly they were. But I think in the early part of our paying more attention to the opioid epidemic, there was this concentration on the fact that doctors were overprescribing, which they certainly were, and that people who were addicted and couldn't get prescriptions anymore were turning to things like heroin or were getting pills illicitly. But really what's happening now increasingly is that synthetic opioids like, and especially fentanyl, are being produced illicitly and being used to add them to things like cocaine and to heroin, because then you can get a high that is just as or more intense, but it's less pure. If you can synthetically create a thing that doesn't have to come from poppies or a plant or be imported, or you know that is easier for people who do distribution, who can make more of a profit. So a few weeks ago, Wake County had a public meeting. We wrote about it to look into how they're going to spend this money. Wake County is an excellent example of this because, you know, over the course of 2020 and 2021, there were 388 drug overdose deaths. 76% of those were fentanyl. 76%. And so it's this whack-a-mole game you're always playing with drugs, right? You sort of press one thing down, another rises up, unfortunately. And just recently, there was this rally in the Capitol by parents and loved ones of people who had lost people to fentanyl who want to see a certain set of things happen policy-wise. They'd like to see more naloxone, a drug that can help people not die when they've overdosed. They want it more available. They want it over the counter. They want it in schools. They want it in people's purses because that is saving a lot of lives. They also want some things, and we're writing the stories right now about, you know, how viable this is. They want more people prosecuted essentially for murder, you know, death by distribution. And we're taking a look at how effective that is, whether or not it's the right thing to do. You know, is it effective? It's a huge policy question as to how you deal with these things. And not everybody agrees. I mean, you know, not everybody in law enforcement agrees. Not all lawmakers agree. Not all people in the medical community agree. Some of the things that doctors especially are emphasizing need to happen out of this recovery money is money for things like medically assisted therapy for people who are in recovery, and to reduce the stigma of people who are in recovery and are using some sort of medical assistance to get there. There are unfortunately government programs and programs all over the country where if you're getting like housing assistance, for instance, or government assistance while you're recovering, you can't use medically assisted therapy in order to do that. And so it takes a real tool out of the bag of people who are helping these folks to recover.
We're talking with NC Policy Watch investigative reporter Joe Killian about the opioid crisis that continues to afflict our state. Joe, the numbers are pretty remarkable. You mentioned numbers in Wake County, but we're talking like thousands of people statewide.
Yeah. So from January to May of this year, 2022, there were 1,342 overdose deaths. Those are just the ones that involved fentanyl. In North Carolina. And so that puts us on track to top last year's record number, which was 3,163. There is a bit of a complication here in counting because in North Carolina right now, the medical examiner's office, the chief medical examiner, they don't have a code that's just for fentanyl. So it's just for all synthetic opioids, essentially. But if you talk to them, they'll tell you it's almost all fentanyl. A thing that maybe I'm not getting across here is people die of fentanyl overdoses who don't know that they're taking fentanyl. Right. They think they're taking MDMA pills. They think they're doing a line of coke at a party, which a college student might do, and, you know, or anybody might do, and think, well, this is just, you know, recreational drug use. I don't have a habit. Suddenly you're on a bathroom floor not breathing and people are trying to figure out why. Well, it's because that line of coke that you did was mostly fentanyl, and that is meant to shut down your system. That's what it's for, which is pushing these overdose deaths up and up and up. This drug environment is different. The ecosystem in which people are doing drugs is different.
Your reporting on it spurred me to have a conversation with my own adult children about this topic. And it's a topic that maybe listeners may want to consider thinking about and not, you know, talking to their friends and loved ones about, that you don't have to have an opioid addiction to be terribly harmed or even killed by fentanyl. There are, as I understand it, there are tests out there that some people use in some places to check the purity of drugs that maybe provide some sort of a protection.
In places where people are using recreational drugs, one of the things that they've tried to do, and you see this at giant festivals like Burning Man, for instance, is there are little tents set up where you can go and bring your pills and say, you look into this for me, and is it what it's supposed to be? Is it, you know, is it Molly? Is it MDMA? Is it mostly fentanyl? What is it? And they'll check it out for you. There are people who do that. How effective that is, you know. Yeah. And also, you know, tossing the dice on how much fentanyl you're okay with being in something that you're gonna put in your body is a whole other thing. It's, you know, I just turned 40 years old, and I remember when I was a kid, you know, the DARE program in public schools, kind of putting the fear of God into us about all drugs. And I think that unfortunately, it was a disservice to many people in my generation because it made you think that there is no differentiation between, you know, all drugs. And now when the messaging really needs to be, you literally don't know what's in that, and we have piles and piles of bodies to attest to that, there are people who are kind of dismissive about it. I've talked to them who are like, yeah, but this is what law enforcement always tells you, right? This is what people in the medical community always tell you, right? Is just, you know, just say no, and people do drugs and will always do drugs. Problem is the illicit drugs that you're getting, even that guy you've been getting your drugs from for a long time might not be aware how stepped on this stuff is and, you know, how cut with other things it is. And that's an enormous problem. We linked to some studies in our most recent story of medical examiners' offices in large cities that a decade or 15 years ago were beginning to see more and more fentanyl deaths from people who were doing heroin, who were doing cocaine. And then it became an enormous national problem. And now it's just everywhere.
And I guess the final question, as we come to the end of our time with NC Policy Watch investigative reporter Joe Killian. Joe, I know you and Kellen Lyons, who also works at NC Policy Watch, are looking into this issue of people who come out of incarceration may be among the people who are very likely to be, or most prone perhaps to falling prey to this, because they may have had an addiction before they went in, and maybe then they get some drugs that they may not even realize what they're getting, or they could be overdosing very easily. I gather that's a potential problem for people who've been incarcerated.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of the support systems that we have around for people who are coming out of incarceration are not great. They're underfunded, they're understaffed. We're not paying enough attention to that. But also, yeah, if you're coming out of prison and you go to a party, or you are like, you know, I'd love to have a little of whatever, and it's not what it was when you went in, that's a huge problem. That is the sort of difference in this story and a lot of other stories that I've ever written about drugs and law enforcement or drugs and policy, which is that it's having an effect on people who have been doing heroin for 10 or 15 years. It's having an effect on people who have, you know, sort of nursed a cocaine habit for a long time. And it's having an effect on, you know, people who are like recent grad school grads who go to a party and end up dead, and their parents are like, but they didn't have a habit. When you have that spread, I mean, unfortunately, this is what it takes, right? I mean, when it's poor people, when it's black and brown people, when it's women, when it's, you know, any sort of marginalized group that is dying in larger numbers, there's less attention paid to it and less money thrown at it. When there's a full spectrum of people who are dying from every socioeconomic class and race and background, then there's more attention paid to it. So that will be part of our reporting as well.
Joe Killian is an investigative reporter at NC Policy Watch, where he's my colleague there. Joe, thanks for joining me. And we'll look forward to these stories. They're sobering and hard to read, but they're really important. So keep up the good work.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
Coming up next, a special extended conversation with North Carolina Attorney General Josh Stein, in which we delve deeper into the opioid crisis. Don't go away.